Hey, everybody, welcome in. You know, today's program is serious and I think somewhat or a lot disturbing. But in talking about the topic of veteran suicides, we can share about symptoms to be alert to or especially services available for veterans and their families. And very, very, very importantly, though we're going to be using a lot of overall numbers and statistics, we remember and we know and want you to be aware that actually everything always breaks down to an individual person, unique, individual, and for each person, for that person, there is always hope. My name is Barbara, and here to help us understand this is Tom Lindley. He is the Bonner County Veteran Services Officer. Did I just give you a new title? Are you manager, officer?
No, I'm the Veteran Service Officer. I'm also the Director of Veteran Services for Bonner County.
Director. I was going to say poobah, but
it all works.
All right. Tom Lindley is with us. Also, Dante Rumori. Both of these gentlemen have been with us before. Dante is the owner, instructor at Mental Health Jiu-Jitsu here. It's in Ponderé, right?
No, my practice is in downtown Sandpoint.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, so I'm not instructor, provider. I'm a therapist, licensed clinical social worker.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit more, but thank you for correcting me. Why did I think you were in Ponderé? Who knows? That's Dante Rumori, Mental Health Jiu-Jitsu. Both of these gentlemen are a part of the help and solutions for our veterans. They and their colleagues are avenues of health and healing. So all that coming up right after this.
Accidents happen, and when they do, more people reach out to Northwest Auto Body. Consistently voted the best auto body shop in the region, we offer guaranteed repairs by certified technicians using only state-of-the-art equipment. Our locally owned collision facilities have been serving North Idaho for nearly 50 years. Find us online or just stop on by. No appointments needed, no charge estimates, and advice is just good customer service. Remember, Northwest Auto Body in Sandpoint, Ponderé, and now in Bonner's Ferry.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.com.
William is one of millions of Americans who uses GoodRx to save on the cost of their prescriptions.
My oldest daughter, Camilla, 2 days old, she had to have open heart surgery. All of a sudden, she's on 5 different medications. It adds up at the end of the month. Me and the pharmacist got so tight. She said, GoodRx, save you a lot of money. Saving that extra $200, $300 a month, we're able to do all these extra activities. So it puts less stress on our household, and it puts less stress on our pockets.
Download the free app or visit GoodRx.com and start saving today. GoodRx users are compensated for their time. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
Sponsored by Armstrong Pharmaceuticals.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-761-0000. That's 800-761-0000. 800-761-0000.
News Talk. 97.1.
Hey everybody, welcome back in. As promised, my guests today are Tom Lindley. He's with Bonner County Veteran Services, and Dante Rumori. He is a therapist here in Sandpoint, and he also has a class for jiu-jitsu classes, and that's located in Ponderé.
Right, yeah. And we actually have a veterans functional fitness class at the UFIT gym, and veteran scholarships at SBA for jiu-jitsu.
I am excited about that. And we're going to get to all of those programs when we get to that part where we're serving our veterans. But let's establish what the issues are and what the problems are. You know, Tom, I was looking up the number of suicides for veterans and how it compares to our non-veteran population. And for every 100,000 in population, there are 34. The rate is 34 point something for veterans, and it's 17 for non-veterans. So the rate of suicide, Tom, for veterans is twice that of what we would call the non-veteran population. So we need to understand those numbers. First of all, are they even getting better over the years?
I believe they are. As we actually start, I don't want to say paying attention, but we're doing a much better job of talking about the things that we've seen, and generationally we're doing a better job of the things that we see and can't process. And that's what trauma is you experience something that you just can't process, and it sticks with you. And in previous generations, they dealt with it that in non-healthy ways, where they stuffed it down, they drank, they talked about it every once in a while, and they worked
themselves.
Only
with other veterans, yep. Though, who maybe couldn't offer a way out.
Today we realize that you can actually talk about feelings and you can ask for help. But I mean, by design, the military creates a culture where they get the absolute most out of you emotionally, intellectually, and physically. But they don't do a real great job of helping you separate when you go back to the real world, if you will.
Well, let's stay on that thing about sharing and talking about our problems, Dante, since you are a therapist and this is what you help. Do you only serve veterans in your clinic, or is it other people also?
Primarily veterans and veterans family members. I do have some community members who come in who are not veterans, but I spent 15 years-ish with the VA. And then when I left the VA, it was with the Vet Center program, but it falls under the VA. When I moved up here and started my practice, I continued to work primarily with veterans, but not entirely. I'd say 90%.
Okay,
veterans.
So you're aware of what Tom's talking about, this where it used to be worse before, but it's still there now, this aversion to talking about the problem, talking about the issues, often viewed as a social stigma. I mean, if you've got problems in the military, I mean, I can think of all kinds of derogatory, you know, nicknames you might get. Weak being, I mean, you just can't handle it. What's wrong with you? So they don't seek, our veterans, male and female, may not seek help in the service when they need it. And for sure, they don't seek help sometimes when they get out, because again, the stigma that, you know, you're not a man, you can't handle it. Do you see that in your therapy? And what do you do to counteract that?
Obviously I saw it in the military. I've seen it since I've been out of the military. I've seen it as a therapist. I have friends to this day who served, you know, when I served, they're very close friends that they know I'm a therapist and they still won't go seek therapy. But I think there's
because
of that stigma, because of various reasons, like in the military, even if you're willing or interested in seeking therapy, there's many, many jobs where that'll be the end of your career. Obviously like pilots, people with security clearances, And then for my friends, I have a close friend who he didn't want to go back for a second deployment. He was really having a rough time with his first deployment. I was talking to him, this is like 2003 or 2004, and he actually sought help. And, you know, the military put him on antidepressants and he redeployed for another pretty rough Army infantry deployment. And so there's a lot in there. You know, there's people who have sought help in the service and out, and for whatever reason, it wasn't a good experience. And they're like, I'm never doing that again.
There is a social stigma, I think, just generally speaking, and you see it also in law enforcement. The same thing can prevail, and they are working against that. I've had Chaplain Corps on here, and sheriffs, and Idaho State Police is one that I just did, where they are working to help their members understand the stresses. And that if they can talk about them and seek the kind of help they need, it really does help. And that no one is going to look at them as weak and not good. But yet, then again, there is this thing about promotions and
the way
you're seen by your commanders. Go ahead, Tom.
In the military, the word of mouth mafia is very strong. And even when you tell people, hey, I mean, 100%, I would rather help somebody transition out of the military than have to go to their funeral.
Yes.
1,000%. A career is not for life. A career is just an adventure that you're having at that moment. And if it's not right for you, raise your hand. There is help out there. And I have several instances where we've actually positively impacted service members. It's when you get out and you lose that entire support structure and all your bros and the camaraderie's gone, and you go to work at a civilian job and everybody just, you know, it's like the coyote and the sheepdog on the cartoons where they clock in and they work and they clock out and they're friends, you know. That's kind of what the civilian world's like, is just live and let live. And it's a hard transition to make because you're expecting to be beholden to somebody. You're expecting somebody to be there to care about you. And it's just, you have to create those relationships on your own. Whereas the military, it came pre-made.
They just told you what to do and where to go. And that's not the way it works. And even in the workplace where you think you're going to be told, no, you're not always told where to go and what to do. I like what you said, someone said before we went on the air, and that it is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. I know that when you're in the middle of that problem, it's hard to see it that way, but it is true. You know, it's not a cliche to say this too will pass, you know.
I mean, when you look at it, it's finances, love, and then substances. And all three of those things are solvable. There will be opportunity costs that go along with them, or challenges that go along with solving each one of those things. But there are people that are just wanting to help you through them.
I know, but the reason that we're here talking about this, and that the numbers, not to go back to the numbers, are not all that great, is when you break it down past the overall numbers where it's twice the number of veteran suicides as the non-veteran population, and you break that down for gender and age, it is even more disturbing at how vulnerable our female veterans are. They are way more vulnerable to suicide than non-veteran females. For the guys, that 18, I think it's 18 to 34, our young veterans are the most likely to commit suicide. Why is that? I mean, I think I know, but let's let help our audience understand. What is it about these young veterans that's making it so hard for them to transition, to do what they need to do in the military and then come out successfully? I'll start with you, Dante.
I think if you look at the risk factors, a lot of the risk factors are probably going to be more something that someone of that demographic would experience. Things like financial stuff, relationship challenges, and then there's a lot more that goes into it. But like, if you look at some of the numbers, that there's a number that always stands out for me is that, so if we're at 17.6 veterans commit suicide per day, only seven of those are actually affiliated with the VA. Like, they've gotten to VA healthcare. So 10.6 of them actually haven't got established with the VA. So they're probably not established with a mental health provider or even a medical provider. And then you look at the other side of protective factors. I just finished my annual suicide training that I have to do every year to get my continuing education credits. And I took a couple notes from that one just because they're really powerful for me personally, is that once a veteran is established with effective health care, their risk of suicide goes down. Once they're established with a mental health provider and they have a good relationship, their risk goes down. Once they're established with a medical provider that they feel comfortable with, their risk goes down. But also as far as like financial stuff, I mean, that's during that period of time, you just got out of the military, you're trying to find a job, you're trying to find financial stability. You know, and a lot of the times, like, so I've done several demobilizations where I show up to units that are just coming back from combat. And almost no one has wanted to talk to me about what they experienced in combat at that point, right? They almost all wanted to talk about relationship problems. So I'm there just providing therapy, checking in with them, seeing how they're doing. And like some of them, they actually, their commands mandated that they talk to me. So I'm talking to every single person coming back on this demob. And the main thing that people wanted to talk about was relationship problems. And I'll just share this. It's anecdotal, obviously, but every veteran suicide that I have come into contact with, relationship problems was an element of it. Definitely, you know, I can't say that about finances, but I for sure can say that about relationship.
So one of the things I'm hearing, you said something to me before we went on the air that I want our listeners to hear, and that is when I think of suicide, veteran suicides, as many of our audience are, they're thinking of PTSD and combat experience, and that is what has happened that has created this problem. And you're saying actually that is not it. I mean, it is a part of it. It can be a part of it, but it is not the majority issues that our veterans are dealing with that pushes them or gives them that one answer, which is suicide. That's stunning to me.
Yeah, when I was working for the VA, I had access to more detailed statistics on veteran suicide. And I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, that was surprising that, you know, it's not as big of a percentage of veterans who commit suicide have actually deployed to combat. So I think a lot of people, as soon as they see, back when 22 a day, when the number was 22 and it got a lot of traction, there was, you know, a lot of social media memes about 22 a day. I think the perception was that, you know, almost all those 22 were combat veterans, right? But that's not the case.
Not the case.
No.
So this is what I'm hearing, and both of you, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm hearing, one way or the other, I mean, most of they're veterans. They're not active combat. They are not committing suicide that much when they're in the military. It's when they get out of the military and they have whatever baggage they've brought with them from the military and then their current situation, whether it's relationships with family, kids, you know, jobs, money, drugs, alcohol. I mean, I'm sure that our veterans, our active duty veterans, are not drinking the way, I don't want to use the word, our active duty servicemen and women are not drinking the way a veteran now who's out here is drinking. So
drinking is pretty heavy in my experience,
so
and everyone
in
I know drinking is a heavy part of the military, and you drink when things are going well and you drink when things are going rough,
but they're not committing suicide much.
Suicide amongst active duty service members is a pretty big problem.
Oh my goodness.
And actually the only statistics I had on that were from like 2014.
Do you know, I looked for this and I couldn't find it. So I thought it was pretty much a non-issue.
No, so again, part of like my annual suicide training, then we start talking about, there's always a part that's amongst military, and they split that up amongst active duty or people who are actively in the military,
veterans.
But it's a problem in both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so the military is the common denominator here, this military experience in it and after it. You're nodding, Tom. So I'm saying the obvious. But so we've got post-traumatic stress, we've got traumatic brain injuries, you know, we've got relationships.
The military is representational of society. It is just a small snippet of society in a microcosm that does a specific job with different pressures and real pressures where people really do die if you make mistakes.
Really,
you
know? Is so life and death.
It is. And not every day, but there are instances of it. And so with that being said, the challenges are always there. And the military actually is quite slow on the pickup when a new generation comes on, because each generation acts just a tad bit different about feelings and about problem solving and about logic.
Expectations.
Expectation management.
Yes.
You know, and not that one generation is better than the other. It's just a reality that it's slow to recognize that this is different. And it comes down, suicide prevention, and comes down to you actually caring about your fellow humans and having enough empathy to ask, how are you doing today? And actually mean it, and not just, because I'll tell you what, the first time that someone sat down in my office, I said, how are you doing today? Not good. I was like, oh.
I got a real answer.
Oh, and I wasn't prepared for it. But I had an entire mechanism standing behind me to enact and to solve that issue for that individual and help him through it. But in the civilian world, it doesn't exist. I can't go, you will stay right here and look next door and get another dude who's part counselor, part authoritarian, and enact an entire mechanism. And what I have is, I have who I am as a person and letting them know that I care about them and that they're important, and basically doing my best not to let them leave until either they're starting to resolve some of the challenges they're facing in that moment or working on a solution with them. Because I can drive you over to Spokane Urgent Care at Grand Staff, the VA hospital, and I can check you in and they can get you the help you need. I can drive you to Bonner General and check you in at the ER.
You know what's disturbing me is, honestly, I am just amazed that we've got a veteran. The active duty suicide is an issue also, and those numbers are not good. And then you get out of the military, and you're a veteran now, and the numbers are still bad. To me, it's just some kind of monumental failure in this whole military process or something, whether they're just not, you said they are slow, they being those in command, those that are making decisions, slow, we're up against a break, but slow to change, or
I think the whole of society is slow.
Our people, our young people are changing. They're different. We all know Gen Z and Gen X. I mean, they're different than me. I look at them and I'm like, what? So anyway, hold those thoughts. We've got so much to talk about, and we will be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Michael from The War and Treaty. You know the jingle. Now discover the facts about Ozempic, a GLP-1. Only Novo Nordisk makes FDA-approved Ozempic. Learn about the real thing.
Talk to your healthcare professional today. Call 1-833-OZEMPIC or visit ozempic.com to view the medication guide and to learn more about Ozempic. Semaglutide injection 0.5 milligrams.
Hi, I'm Andrew McCollum, CEO of Philo, the streaming TV company that's proud to be different. At Philo, we put the audience first. It sounds simple, but how often are you frustrated just trying to watch TV? I run a streaming company, and even I can't figure it out. From hidden fees to impossible-to-break contracts to dozens of confusing apps, TV has gotten way too hard. so we set out to make it better. You want to watch live TV from the channels you've always loved, like Discovery, A&E, Nickelodeon, and more? Philo's got you covered. You want to discover something new from our library of over 80,000 movies and shows? Then save every episode for up to a year so you can skip all the ads? No problem. Your favorite show is over, and you want to take a break from your subscription? We've made it as easy as possible, and you can still enjoy more than 100 free channels. We built Philo so that you can love the way you watch TV for a price you can afford. Because at Philo, we're TV fans too. Head to philo.tv/Andrew to start a free trial and see for yourself. That's philo.tv/Andrew.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind: to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-761-0000. That's 800-761-0000. 800-761-0000.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
News Talk 97.1.
Oh my goodness, we've got it going on here today. Our topic is veteran suicides. We were just talking about how there are a significant number of suicides in the active duty military, but we're focusing today on veterans that are transitioning out of the military into civilian life, the challenges that they face, and why this suicide does become an option, especially for our 18 to 34-year-olds. That's where the highest number of suicides are for our veterans. They're young. I mean, well, 18, maybe they're not a veteran yet, but I don't know. You talked about that they do commit suicide, so they may be 18 or 19 that first year that they're in the military. They're vulnerable to suicides. So Dante Rumore is, you are a therapist, a clinical
licensed clinical social worker.
Licensed clinical social worker. You work primarily with veterans and or their families. And Tom Lindley is also with us. He's with Bonner County Veteran Services. So, Dante, you wanted to talk to our audience briefly about how that transition year for you from active military Marine service to civilian life. How was it and why do you think it was so hard?
Yeah, well, I think it's important. Like, it's a snapshot of what a lot of veterans experience. So not just me, it's just, using my experience as an example, but, I wasn't expecting some of the challenges when I got out and I didn't deploy during my service. Many of my friends did, which is a whole other thing. But I got out and I wasn't expecting the impact that having that loss of structure was going to have on me. I was looking forward to it. So I lost that structure. And then I started to realize that once I got into college and I was in a new community, that a lot of people didn't laugh at the same jokes I laughed at. They didn't socialize the way I socialized. And so then I started just noticing all these things that I had taken for granted in the military. They just became, for 5 years of my life, it was every day. And now it's not there. So that was, like I was telling you guys earlier, that was like the hardest year of my life. And it took me a while to realize all the things that I was missing that I had just had for the last 5 years. It was embedded in the routine and in the culture. And so once I started to realize that I was missing those things, then I started to add them back into my life and seek them out. But even my first civilian job, people didn't work the same. They didn't have the same camaraderie and collaboration. It just felt like everything felt weird, and I had to learn how to adapt to that. But I hear that a lot from the veterans I work with, is like that is really hard to start to reestablish those things. And that's if we're mindful of it, if we're aware of it. So
an active duty military person may think, the structure, and there was yelling, whatever, they tell me when to eat, when to do it, you know, what to do. They may push back against it, but really they like it, or they get used to it. It becomes a part of what they get used to. Then when it's gone, all of a sudden,
you don't have to wonder what you're going to do. You don't have to wonder what the ladder is to progress in your career.
What's for dinner?
What you're going to wear? You're going to be PTing, so you're going to be getting physical exercise. You know, most of us have access to 3 square meals a day. Social, whether we get along
mostly
with the people.
Men. Yeah. Is that a part of it? Most of your social life in the military is with other men, or is
my experience
are enough
was,
women are there that it's more
it's MOS
now.
Dependent and it used to be
MOS.
Job dependent.
Okay,
right. Like so, my job there was I didn't really work closely with any females. Which if we start going down that can of worm, what the females experience, right? Because they can tend to feel really isolated when
yes.
they get out. And they don't know, you know, so that's a whole other thing. But, yeah, I was mostly men. But, you know, part of the reason why I bring that up, or I think it has value, is it was a good learning experience for me for my future career. And then my future career, I spent 15 years working with veterans. And on the side of that, I was building programs like multi-day retreats, single-day activities, and then ongoing activities. And what I realized that really tends to have a lot of value, and that's why I do what I do now with my nonprofit work, is we have reoccurring programs that are socially based, activity based, where veterans can actually start to build a sense of camaraderie and community. They can be active and engaged. And right now, like the programs that I have going on, I can't tell you how every time I talk to someone who's involved with it, they tell me how meaningful it is to go and be with a group of veterans where they can tell the same jokes and they can laugh at each other. They can PT together, physical training, but you know, it's for like the functional fitness one. Hands down, everyone who's involved said it has changed their life and it gives them something reoccurring and it's social.
So for your transition and other successful transitions, because obviously you have made that transition, both of you have very successfully, you are saying to recreate in a positive way the good parts, the supportive parts of your military experience, the camaraderie, to having some set schedule, to have some purpose going on, to what you're doing, physical training, because I love the name of your jiu-jitsu, mental health jiu-jitsu. I mean, I'm happy. I was saying I go to the Y and I dance to music with weights, but it makes me happy. It's physical and it always makes me happy. So to recreate those things about the military that are positive helps make the transition, helps you live life. I mean, nothing you said is not uncommon to my life. Camaraderie, physical activity, you know, doing things I enjoy with people I enjoy, right? Or is that too simple?
No, I don't think it's too simple, and I don't think it just applies to the veteran population, right? Like, if we're dealing with anything in isolation, we're not going to see the resources that are out there to help us navigate it.
Exactly.
And I think with suicide, not always, right? Because there's a lot of people who make that choice who have solid support networks. And I'll share this metaphor because I think it's important. But I share this with my clients all the time. If I'm standing on solid ground, I'm 5'11". So I'm 5'11" off of the ground and I can see a lot of resources and I have perspective and peripheral vision. If I started to sink into the ground, you know, every inch, every foot I go down, I start to have less view, less perspective, less peripheral vision. I can see less resources. Say I keep sinking till my head's underground and now I'm in a hole. Now my resources, excuse me, are getting thinner, quicker. My visibility and ability to see them is getting, and the deeper I go down the hole, the smaller it gets. And so when I'm talking to even families who have lost a family member to suicide, I share that with them as like high likelihood by the time they made that decision, they were so far down the hole that they couldn't see the resources available to them. And I've spent my whole career trying to provide veterans with resources to help protect them, you know, to help them have a sense of safety. And like, this is what you do when you get to this point. But it, and when they get to that point, and that's, again, this isn't veterans. I feel like this is just suicide in general. But when they get to that point, they don't see any of the resources that are there. And then that seems to be the only option to solve their problem, to solve their pain.
Oh, it does become the only option. Right. It is the only option.
So anything that we can do to keep them in contact with those resources and to bring them, you know, keep their head as, you know, above the hole as high as possible. And again, this isn't just a veteran thing, it's a human thing. Then they have more perspective and they can see more resources around them.
Tom, and this is for both of you, it just seems, you know, having the resources of socializing and camaraderie and people that kind of get you. Drugs and alcohol are like, for me, a wild card. I don't care who you are. If you've got drugs and alcohol going in your life, you're in trouble. Things are not, whether it's marriage or work or health or whatever, are not going to turn out good for you. Whether it ends up in suicide or not, it just could be. So, I mean, how do we overcome the issues of drugs and alcohol? Because that is a part of the problem.
It is. So you have to recognize that you're having challenges because, you know, one drink a night, one drink with a neighbor once a week, not an issue. But once it becomes your primary coping skill or coping mechanism, whether it's drugs or alcohol or nicotine or working out, it's all falls into the same thing. If you have ritualistic habitual behavior that becomes addictive, instead of dealing with your issues and looking at the where's and the why's that you're having challenges, you're using substances or activities to overcome that. You're just not dealing with it.
So for a veteran, real quick, because we've got to take a break, does AA or DA, Drugs Anonymous, I think it is, or is that it, or Al-Anon for the families, do they work or do veterans need some kind of a special? And I think what I'll do is I'll put that question out there. You guys think about it. When we come back, we're going to answer that question.
Get ready for 10 days of nonstop fun at the North Idaho State Fair, August 15th to the 24th. Enjoy carnival rides, delicious food, and five thrilling nights of rodeo. Experience tractor pull shows, exhilarating concerts, and the excitement of the lumberjack show and pig races. Plus, stage act, live music, and farm park fun for the whole family. Get your tickets now for the North Idaho State Fair, nisfair.fun, presented by ICCU.
For nearly 100 years, Adams Tractor has helped the Northwest knock out to-do list one tough job at a time. As your local Kubota dealer in Spokane and Lewiston, we're proud to back Washington State Athletics with the same grit we bring to every yard, field, and job site. From mowing to digging to plowing, Kubota delivers, and so do we. Visit AdamsTractor.com. Adams Tractor, nearly a century strong, powered by Kubota, fueled by Coug Pride.
Do you want safe, efficient excavation without the damage? Call Vandenberg Hydro Excavation, your local experts in storm drain cleaning, culvert jetting, and underground utility locating. Vandenberg Hydro Excavation high-pressure water and powerful vac systems get the job done right. No mess, no guesswork. Safe, efficient digging without the damage. Serving Sandpoint and surrounding areas across Idaho, Montana, and Washington. Find out more information online at vhexcavation.com.
Cancer screening can save your life. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Come by boat or car for unforgettable waterfront dining. Pearls on the Lake in Hope is now open 7 days a week from 12 to 8. Enjoy a fresh new menu, tasty cocktails, and live music on beautiful Lake Ponderay. Visit pearlsonthelake.com to reserve your table today.
Millions of Americans take medicine like Ozempic and Zepbound. Many of them are overpaying by thousands of dollars a year. These GLP-1 medications for diabetes, weight loss, and more may not always be covered by your insurance, but GoodRx can help. GoodRx helps you save every month on prescriptions at over 70,000 pharmacies nationwide. Best of all, it's free to use. Check GoodRx to save on GLP-1s. Just go to GoodRx.com/GLP. That's GoodRx.com/GLP. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance, including Medicare and other federal and state-funded programs.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
News Talk 97.1.
Okay, we are talking about veteran suicides, but more importantly, we're talking about, you know, what is contributing, and even more important than that, we're talking about what are the solutions. And these gentlemen, both of them, not only have dedicated their lives as veterans to serve America, but they are now dedicating their lives and their jobs and their work to serving other veterans and helping them make this transition and stay alive and
thrive.
And thrive. That's even better. Thank you. So alcohol and drugs problems, whether you've been in the military or not, it can affect some people. They become addicted. And so does AA, Tom, and Al-Anon, kind of these community programs, work for veterans, or do they need kind of a special group?
I think they can work for veterans, but it's dependent upon who that veteran is. You know, there, does AA work for every civilian? The answer is no. But it's, if you're looking for support and you're looking for a path forward and you're looking for a structured program, it can work. At the end of the day, all you've spent is time if you engage in it. And if it doesn't work, then you try something else. Once you realize that you need help, you have to be assertive enough in your pursuit of that help to keep trying, because one therapist does not fit them all. They said, who's the best therapist out there? It's the one you'll talk to, because you have to feel comfortable with that therapist. And there's a lot of trust that goes into it, because you're pulling back layers of your deepest, darkest for somebody else. And that's really hard to do.
You know, Dante, you talked to family members, and, you know, I was reading to look, you look for irritability, you look for, you know, expressions of loneliness and depression and unemployment, isolation, you know, these sleep disorders. So families may see warning signs, but really, they can't do anything if the veteran himself or herself is not willing to do just what Tom said, find a therapy, find an AA meeting, find a group that can help you. How do you help the veteran seek help?
Cool. Just going back to the substance abuse thing, I wanted to throw this out. That our local, our Man Grand staff, our Spokane VA, they have a great SATP program, substance abuse treatment program. SATP.
Which is?
Substance abuse treatment program.
Okie dokie.
Yeah. And so obviously there's going to be veterans that listen to this and say, well, I didn't have a great experience. But overall, we have a very solid program here. And almost the majority of veterans that I'm working with simultaneously who are in SATP and get a lot out of it, and they're very supportive. The program's very supportive.
How does a veteran or a family that's listening today hook up with the SATP program?
You're going to just call the VA and just ask for...
Call Tom?
The actual VA, our local VA. Okay, call up to Man Grand
staff. In the old Coldwater Creek.
You can call me.
Yeah, you can call Tom.
And I will point you, or I will drive you.
All right. Yep. And your number is 208-255-3630. That's
no,
not really.
5291.
Oh,
255-5291.
5291. All right. That's Tom Lindley, Bonner County Veteran Services. And let's go ahead and give your telephone number, Dante.
Yeah, you can reach me at 208-627-9930. And I'm more than willing to use all my VA.
Is that your cell phone?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, that's not the number I have for the, I don't know, the gym or whatever.
Okay. But going back to your question about warning signs, I think this is really important. And this is, I say this with the utmost love and respect for all of the families that I've worked with that have lost a family member to suicide, is that the warning signs aren't obvious. They contradict themselves, because it can be like their depression is getting worse, they're sleeping more. But it can also be like they're all of a sudden more cheerful and in better spirits, right? So a lot of the times, if you look at the warning signs, you can pull it up, it'll say one thing, then it'll say the opposite thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that knowing that, it's really hard, because 100% of the families I've worked with, and so it breaks my heart, have said, we didn't see it. We didn't see the signs. And even therapists, like, there's no statistics that says we're doing a very good job at predicting who's going to commit suicide and who's not. So all the assessment tools and everything, a lot of people don't like hearing that, and I don't like reading it when I'm like, oh, okay, so I'm doing all this training and all this stuff, and it, statistically speaking, it's not going to make me any better at predicting it. So I think out of that, but, you know, it's obviously talking about suicide, or talking about, wishing to die. The number one that I see is if your family member is starting to talk like they're a burden to others, that is my number one red flag. Like, a lot of these are like caution flags and we don't know, but as soon as we hear that, okay, now our radar's got to be up. You know, one that's common in the literature is starting to give away possessions, you know, and
yes.
that tends to come with the more cheerful, I believe, I've observed.
Because they're feeling relief. They've made a decision.
Made this decision, yep. Yeah. And so, again, it can be really contra where they say one thing, or they say both sides, right? This, you see this, but you could also be seeing the opposite of it. So, I think that's a challenge, and I think to the love and respect of the family members, that if you didn't see it, if you're listening to this and you didn't see it, well, it's really hard to see, and please don't blame yourself.
You know, we are running out of time. I can't believe it. Actually, we are out of time. So basically the bottom line is, I mean, just what you would do with anyone in your life, you know, just help and care and love and talk and I don't know, eat a lot of Italian food or something, because it's really good. You know, what can I say? I want to have you guys back. This is so important. I just don't know when and how. But Tom Lindley, God bless you. Thank you for what you do. Dante Romore, thank you. And all the best in your treatment and your mental health jujitsu. I like it. That's our program for today. Next week, Sandpoint Mayor Jeremy Grimm is going to be with us. And I just looked at the clock wrong. Next week, Sandpoint Mayor Jeremy Grimm is going to be with us. There's so much going on there. We're definitely going to spend a lot of time on the wastewater treatment. And that is probably going to be a bond issue or a voting issue on this November's ballot. I do want to say something about last week's program. We did, it's American 250, and in the context of that, I was looking at a quote from Patrick Henry, and he said, "The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, and the brave," and that describes our veterans. So veterans and families of veterans, God bless you today.